Welcome to the Pod Sports presented by CMG Podcast and Rocky Hill Accountants. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brother, Sander Sanchez. How you doing?
Doing good, baby. How you?
Good. I had a little mess up there with the early auto, but it's okay.
Yeah, you're excited right there.
Yeah, I came out swinging hard, and I'm excited for a reason because there's a lot of talk about. We got players in new places to be, and I'm very excited to talk about it, and I'm going to start off with the biggest name now, because Lionel Messi, superstar in the soccer world, is officially part of the Paris soccer club over there, teaming him up with Neymar and Kylian Mbappe, and I'm very excited for this union. And it reminds me of a big time, you know, move, kind of like the NBA always does, the NBA super team with the big three, and I thought it was really special. And anybody watching, there's a picture of the three guys. It's a dream team that you make in like FIFA, Sander. And you know, with these three guys coming together, it's a championship or bust. It really is. And just like every other championship, every championship caliber team that has been built in the NBA with the big three, it's always been that you got to win the championship or it's a failure for you. But nonetheless, you see this team formed. Does it give you any resemblance of any super team formed in the NBA?
Yeah, straight up, it gives me LeBron Miami Heat vibes. And the reason why is because when you see this big three led by Messi, you know, Messi has been running the game for as long as I can remember. Neymar has been a name for about 10 years. And this kid, Mbappe, he's on the come up. So it's like you kind of got like three generations of superstars in one team. You got the young stud coming up. You got Neymar, who's kind of like, you know, the Devin Booker or the superstar who's already there. And then you got the GOAT Messi, you know, just leading the way. So this team is just, you know, offensively, if you're going to based off talent wise, you could put them up there with some of the great soccer teams to ever play in history. But JJ, I'm going to keep it a stack with you, baby. We got to see them play. We can't really put them up there with some of the great big threes yet because they haven't played a single second together yet. You know, when you look at great soccer teams before, like 04 Arsenal, a team that won 49 straight matches, those are teams that were put together throughout the years and, you know, guys played together. This is three superstars on one team. There's only one ball, JJ, you know. So it just leaves you with, like, anxiety because it's like, who's going to get the ball? Is it going to get the young kid? Is it going to be the young kid, Mbappe, who's, you know, trying to be a superstar, who's trying to, you know, maybe reach Messi's milestones? Messi has, like, what, 35-plus career goals? Yeah. You know, that's nothing to laugh at. Although it may be 35, you know how hard it is to score in soccer? So the fact that he has 35 career goals, you got Neymar with a solid 15 career goals. Like, the offense is there. The coach is there as well, like Paris soccer group. They're there. They're ready to make runs at the European League championships. But like I said, Jay, I can't put them up there with as much as I want to compare them to the Miami Heat, at least we saw kind of those guys play together on Team USA. So we kind of got like a little feel, but that's the closest I could come to it. I'm not going to go ahead and put them at the Golden State Warriors, who are basically unbeatable when they added Durant, because the Warriors, you got a sample size of what they could be. They won a championship and the following year they became the best team in the league in history record wise. So, and then adding Durant, you know, that was just solidifying what they were already going to be. But it's all JJ. We got to just see what they do together. We can't go ahead and put them up there. If it was just based off talent, then 100%, JJ, they're top three and they're not number two. They're straight up number one because Messi, Neymar, those two names alone, that duo alone. Could win you a league championship. So the fact that they got this young stud, Mbappe, who's basically going to be like, all right, we got to worry about Messi and Neymar. This kid's going to have a field day. So don't be surprised if he ends up outshining the two because the focus is all on Messi and Neymar. But still, nonetheless, JJ, we have to see them play. Until then we could start saying at least one season. Let's see what they do that first season. If they could go ahead and get to the championship game in the first season of them playing together, then that's just right there. It's all uphill from there. Like there's no the ceiling. There's basically no ceiling. They could win two, three, four championships in a row. That's how talented they are because they got them all locked up. Neymar's locked up. Messi is now locked up. And Mbappe's still playing on that contract. So they got these guys locked in. Paris is in a really good place. And, you know, when it's Messi, he can't go wrong. The fact that Barcelona couldn't give him the half. He straight up said, look, I'll pay half what my contract is worth if you can keep me. And they still couldn't keep him. So
it was an ugly outing. Yeah,
it was an ugly outing, and it was just sad seeing him in his his conference, you know, saying farewell. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, my man, look, Messi, you're still, even though you're at the lower end of your prime, you are still in your prime. You're still a great soccer player. You know, when you talk about Messi, the names like Pele, Jairzinho, guys in the 90s and 80s that dominated the game. You know, that's when you look at the Mount Rushmore of soccer, Messi's up there, and Ronaldo's gonna be up there as well. But nonetheless, guys, nonetheless, JJ, we're talking about a top three player in the world joining an already stacked team. So get ready to start seeing, you know, probably the most marketable player in all of sports, one of the most marketable player in all of sports.
A lot of jerseys Messi. Going already.
Exactly. Messi, yeah. You know, Messi has the entire package. He has the talent, he has the leadership, and he has the marketability to go to Paris and not lose a single cent. You telling me that if I know that you asked for half of what you was going to get paid from Barcelona, and then they gave him what he was going to get, what he originally wanted. So it's a win-win for this guy. I'm happy for him. I was happy when Ronaldo made his move. I'm happy for Messi making his move because guess what? He felt like he wasn't wanted in Barcelona, especially after asking for a discount. I guess he felt like he wasn't wanted. He said deuces, and Neymar's basically welcomed him with open hands because they know they're going to be seeing great things from here on out.
Yeah, man, I agree. You know, and before I keep going forward, I believe that Kylian's last name is pronounced Mbappe. If I'm wrong, the internet will correct me, but I'm pretty sure it's Mbappe. Nonetheless, Sander, when I saw these guys come together and I put the question together about how it compares to NBA super teams, just like you, I thought about Miami because it just seems like the most iconic one of the most. And this team really looks like a group that could really say not one, not two, not three, not four, because like you mentioned, all these guys right now are in their prime. I mean, mostly Neymar, if anything, because he is the 29-year-old phenom right now that's there in Paris. And then you got Kylian Mbappe, who's, listen, Sander, the kid's only 22 years old. 22 and right, you know, and already has a FIFA World Cup under his belt when they won the championship with France. This kid is no scrub. Like you said, if Mbappe is your third option on that team that now features Lionel Messi, he's basically going to play point guard, you know, for that team. And Neymar is going to willingly, obviously, just let him run the ship because who else is better than this guy, you know? Anybody that follows Lionel Messi, you know, just know what he's about. He's just coming off one of his biggest achievements, winning the Gold Cup for Argentina. That was not the World Cup, I'm sorry, but he ended up winning the tournament with Argentina, his Spurs that he's wanted so bad. So for him to accomplish that feat and now be able to get out of Barcelona and now join the super team in Paris, you know, he's just really feeling a high momentum right now, and I'm very happy for him because, listen, when it comes to the Mount Rushmore of guys, this guy is undoubtedly in the soccer Mount Rushmore. No matter where you want to put him, he's that great. He has a seat in everybody's top five table, if not top three. But nonetheless, Sander, I'm happy that these guys, even soccer players, are taking the superstar route that the NBA's guys go. I'm like, yo, I'm going to control my own narrative. I'm going to control my own destiny because I want to win. So I'm going to team up with a bunch of winners and make it happen.
And make it happen in a beautiful way. Who else wouldn't want to pair up with a guy like Neymar and Mbappe, like a young stud? We just touched on it. If he's your third guy, he's a one on any other team.
You know, any other team.
Other than Juventus with Ronaldo, he's a two on that team. So
the only reason he wasn't the one on France is because Pogba plays there. And Pogba's Pogba, so you're not going to knock him.
100%. But
he was only 20 at the time. Too.
He has a world champ. He has a World Cup under his belt. He's on a superstar stack team, and I believe one of the records for most points in a season in a Liga season is 90. I'm predicting that this team has the ability within the length of the contract to break that record. Maybe score 92, 93, because these guys are that good. Who are you going to guard? Who are you going to throw at who? Like, just the defensive scheme that you would have to come up with three offensive marvels like they have in Paris, it's gonna be a tough go. I see them dominating, Jay. If they win their first season, I see them probably doing a 2 or 3-peat, man, because it's gonna be tough.
I think so too. Like, if they won it the first year and that just symbolizes that they figured it out very early, yeah, I would definitely give them a chance to not only repeat, but possibly 3-peat. And don't be surprised if there's a fourth guy on this team that really emerges, because when you got three distributors like this, there's going to be that one guy in center and on that soccer club that's really going to generalize off that single coverage, that not that much attention that's going to come there, and he's going to really be the X factor. So if you're one of the other guys on the team, just pay attention, because Messi, Neymar, or Mbappe might get you the ball and get it in the goal, man. So I'm very excited.
And another analogy to the Miami Heat big three, listen, you got LeBron, Wade, and Bosch, and Neymar, Messi, and Mbappe, right? All they need you to be is a Ray Allen. All they need you to be is a Mario Chalmers or a
Mike Shane Miller. Mattier.
But that's all we need you to be. We don't need you to try too hard, okay?
Yeah.
The tryhards are already on the team.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, like I said, this is just a memorable big three that we're going to remember for a long time. And hopefully that their on-field production matches what the star power on paper does say. So hopefully that's the case. But nonetheless, Sander, this looks like it's going to be a beautiful big three. But we have questions about another big three, and that's the big three that's in L.A. right now, because Russell Westbrook is officially a Laker, and he's very happy about it. You know, he's an L.A. kid, and he's finally a Laker, and he's excited. He's already saying that. His goal on the team is to make sure that he makes the guys better around him, especially LeBron, making sure that he does whatever LeBron needs him to do. And I'm sure he says that now, but come time when you're on the court and you're the LA kid and you feel like, hey, I'm probably more deserving of being a Laker than LeBron is, you know, you might think about, you know, being that guy for the Lakers, considering that you've never been a B on your whole career, Sander. He's always been 1A. He's never been the second option, and he sure as hell hasn't been the third, and that's what he's going to come down to be on this team certain nights. So, nonetheless, what do you think that Russell Westbrook could really contribute to this Lakers team?
Well, straight up, can we just get what Russ has been doing? That's all we need. Russ, continue doing what you're doing. With a little bit of pushback when LeBron needs you to push back, because the thing with Russell Westbrook and all the teams he's been on, when it comes to the pressured moments, he wants to try and take over those moments and outshine, when in reality, he had guys like Kevin Durant when he was in Oklahoma City that we wondered why the hell was the ball in Russell Westbrook's hand when the game is on the line, other than Durant. Same thing when he played with James Harden in Houston. I felt like Russell Westbrook tried too hard in pressure moments to be that guy. So to be the reason why they won instead of being a part of why they won, you know, I feel like with this team, Jay, this is going to be the team that makes that change. Because guess what, Russ, you are not better than Anthony Davis at his healthiest. And you're damn sure not LeBron at his healthiest. You are the third fiddle. And I believe that I've been touching on this for the past few episodes, that LeBron is the only human being on earth that can get through a guy like Russell Westbrook and his alpha male mentality. So is AD the closer on the Lakers? Quite frankly, I wouldn't mind if it's either AD or LeBron, because LeBron, at the end of the day, is one of the best players in the world, if not the best player in the world. So the fact that he's actually developed the closing ability. So LeBron or Anthony Davis, either or, but definitely not Russell Westbrook, because Russell Westbrook has shown in the most pressurable moments to make the dumbest mistakes. And that's not like Russell Westbrook. So the fact that he's on a team with a guy like LeBron that can actually, at this age, still mentor Russell Westbrook and actually teach him how to win. Kind of like what Wade taught LeBron how to win an actual championship. I feel like LeBron has enough knowledge and enough experience to kind of give some of that to Russell Westbrook. Like, yo, son, I know you're a bull. I know you're a juggernaut, but we need you to be calm. I kind of make Russell Westbrook the same comparison to Francis Ngannou when he first entered the UFC. Francis Ngannou was a chin-down bulldozer. As he learned that after that first fight with Miocic, wait a minute, I need to stay calm. And when we got calm Francis Ngannou, we got world heavyweight champion Francis Ngannou. And I feel like that kind of effect needs to happen to Russell Westbrook in order for him to help the Lakers win a championship, because there's no doubt in my mind the talent on this roster can get them through the West, when you're talking about AD coming back 100% healthy and hopefully staying healthy, he's a top five player in the world. No debate. Same with LeBron, and he's not too. So there's no excuse why Russell Westbrook, a 23 points career points per game scorer, giving you 8 assists. By the way, he led the league last season with 11 assists a game. You know, shooting 43% from the field, getting better from the 3-point line. He's not Steph. He's not even Bradley Beal. But the fact that he's gone from 28% and last year he shot 31%. Granted, it's 3% higher, but it's higher. But we don't need that from Russell Westbrook on this team because they're going to try and surround the team with shooters.
Yeah,
because
that won't be his role.
100%. The transition game is going to be a strength on this Lakers team because although LeBron is 36, about to be 37, or is 37 already, he still got legs. He's still athletic enough to get down the court with a guy like Westbrook. So that's going to be almost impossible to try and stop. And then the pick and roll with AD and Russell Westbrook, good luck with that because that's really pick your poison. This Lakers team with Russell Westbrook literally has no excuse this time because all throughout his career, he's had the talent. But like I said, he hasn't had that alpha male on his team to help him kind of like, yo, bro, I'm the leader of this team. Every team Russell Westbrook is on, he looks at the alpha and look, either you're one and I'm 1A or I'm 1A and you're 2. And that's not going to work on the Lakers team with a guy like LeBron. No. LeBron will be able to hold this man and basically like teach him how to win the right way. Because Russell Westbrook is a competitor. Russell Westbrook is a dog. He's going to give you 110%. Ain't no load management with Russell Westbrook. I'll tell you that. No. This man will give you 100%. And a dog like that given to a goat like LeBron, my man, all he needs to do is continue what he's been doing. The Russell Westbrook that we saw bring back Washington from 15 games down, that Russell Westbrook, that's the Russell Westbrook that we need to see. That triple-double machine, because if Russell Westbrook just gives you triple-doubles every night, the Lakers are going to be losing games with a 25-10-10 game with Russell Westbrook and LeBron and AD? What makes you think if Russell Westbrook giving you 22-8-8, what do you think LeBron and AD are going to be doing?
I mean, did he go 6-24?
100%. But I tell you this, Jay, did the Lakers not get better? No, that's not good. The Lakers got better. Regardless to what, the Lakers got better this year. So I believe that LeBron and Anthony Davis are big enough figures on this team to keep Russell Westbrook in check. That's all you got to do. And Russell Westbrook, based off the conference that he had, based off the press conference, Russell Westbrook knows what it is. He knows his role. He realized he's not the one on this team. He realizes his role. And I believe the fact that he's realized it early, it shows that the Lakers' potential is NBA Finals and nothing less.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned the press conference, and I'm not going to take much from it because, you know, the press conference is really your interview. You're coming out interview, and obviously you're going to say all the right things to your boss, and you're going to say all the things that you agreed on when you signed up that you were going to go to LA, and obviously he's going to back that up. And I'm sure some of it is genuine. I believe so, but I think that the ultimate experiment, obviously, is when they finally get on the court, and then you're down to those pressure moments, and you're really going to see if you remember what you said in the press conference or not. Well, that's yet to be determined, but I feel like a lot of the Russell Westbrook conversation, Sander, comes with the whole, you know, can you teach an old dog new tricks? Because, you know, Russell Westbrook has been playing a certain style of basketball for many years now, and it's going to be like, oh, is he going to be playing with LeBron now? Is that really going to be the factor that changes this guy's whole style? We'll see. I'm in the party of you. I agree that if he's going to defer to anybody, it's going to be LeBron. And when this move first started and it really came out to fruition, I saw it in a sense that I always thought that LeBron was going to be the point guard come the 6-minute mark of the fourth quarter. Like, I feel like he's going to be like, yo, Russ, we're going to agree to go with the game flow all game. But in the games that matter, in the final 6 minutes, I'm exclusive point guard. You're exclusive too. Because listen, like you said, a dog like that for a LeBron-led team where you just like go get the bucket at a two guard for LeBron at Russell Westbrook, he's a great asset in that sense. Obviously, we wish that he was a better shooter. Obviously, LeBron's always best suited with a shooter that could get him on the perimeter, get that deadly three-point shot. That will still be there with AD. You know, he's a serviceable three-point shooter, and they added guys like Malik Monk, and they got Melo over there now.
Melo shooting 40%.
That's what I'm saying. You know, so they developed a good little squad for this team. And the addition that I really like about this, Sander, is that there was a lot of ish being talked about this team and how this team is old, right? This team is old. Well, guess what? You added the ultimate Energizer Bunny on a group full of old men because ain't nobody give more effort than Russell Westbrook every night. So now you got a group of old guys led by the freaking Energizer Bunny of the league. So it's kind of like, what dynamic are they going to throw at people? It's going to catch a lot of teams off guard.
Energizing Bunny, I call Russell Westbrook more like a Tasmanian devil because he just causes havoc on that court. But like I said, Jay, the Lakers don't need Russell Westbrook to try and be that guy on the most pressurable moments. They got those guys. They got LeBron. They got AD. Russ, be smarter with the ball. And of course, a guy as knowledgeable as LeBron, who's basically like the Gandalf of the NBA world, that much knowledge Russell Westbrook can use 100% and help to his ability. I don't see how this team can take a step back. If anything, I feel like this team is going to step forward. And JJ, straight up, having a guy, even though he is not the guy he used to be, but Melo coming off that comeback season that he did last season, giving you 14 points per game. Listen, yeah. Russell Westbrook driving it in, causing a double team, kicking it out to an open Melo, or like you said, an open AD who's better shooting.
And not for nothing, Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony do have experience playing together because they did play together in Oklahoma City.
Yes, and there's just no way I feel like this team is going to take a step back. The only issue with me that I had this with this team is maybe they might take a step back defensively because they are older players. Like, check this out. Right. If you look at this roster, right, and you just plug in 2009 to 2012 for all the players, this team might go 82-0. But yeah. That's not the case here. No. That's not the case here. And I do like what Melo touched on during his press conference where he says, you know, a lot of us older guys on this team realize that this is where we actually have to be more taking care of our bodies. That's gonna definitely.
That's a good one.
Listen,
Jose says, can they beat the healthy Nets with this roster?
JJ, Jose, I'll tell you guys right now. I said that the Lakers can get out of the West, but I also said that the Nets will still beat them in the NBA Finals. So I still think the Nets can beat them in the NBA Finals. Would it be a series? Hell yes. But absolutely. I just think it's too much with KD and James Harden and then whatever you get from Kyrie whenever he's not taking a sabbatical. I still think that the Nets can do enough to overpower the Lakers. But, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if LeBron pulls it out because that's just what GOATs do. GOATs do stuff like that. So I wouldn't be surprised, Jay. But Russell Westbrook, listen, if we could get the Russell Westbrook that we've been getting, I feel like the Lakers can get to the finals.
Yeah, no, and, you know, I'm a big Russ guy. You know, like I was a Thunder fan for many years. I'm officially out of that club. Now I'm just an NBA fan because they broke my heart way too many times. But nonetheless, I have a soft spot for Russell Westbrook. I put that out in full disclosure for sure. Ismael says, but James Harden's game is going to change and the calls aren't going to be the same. Well, we'll see. You know, I mean, James Harden seems like a guy, you know, he's an all-time great. I'm sure he'll adapt to whatever the situation is. One thing you know about James Harden, that no matter what the rules are, he's still going to be a threat on the floor regardless. He really is. So I'm not really worried about James Harden. As long as he can stay healthy, he'll be just fine on the court as well. But when it comes to Russ, like I was saying, you know, I just feel like Russ strikes me as the kind of guy that you ever seen that episode of The Office when Ryan's like, I'm taking names. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. Like there's one name in Russell Westbrook's book specifically that we all know who it is. Kevin Durant, right? Kevin Durant is his book forever in life, right? Oh, yeah. And now he's added a lot of more people because a lot of the sports world has said, listen, Westbrook and the Lakers is just a terrible fit. It's not going to work. And people have the right to be that skeptic about it because it's reality. You know, it doesn't seem to fit. So, and you already know what Russ is all about. why not? So for Russ to take on this ultimate why not challenge alongside LeBron, who's the ultimate, I want to beat all the odds. Like, if LeBron were to win a championship alongside Russell Westbrook, the guy that everybody has given the narrative that can't win a ring, who's a stat padder, who the guy that KD tosses aside because he finally decided, I can't win with this guy. And if LeBron was to take that and win it with him, and then for Russ himself, you know, to like stop at LeBron and stop at home and that story in itself, I just think that's just a whole beautiful narrative for the Lakers that could really come to fruition.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because how much more, like, remember KD couldn't win with him? Oh, James Harden couldn't win with him? All that stuff, like, he had all the talent. And it just proves a lot of people that.
Imagine LeBron's like, y'all can't do that? Hey, let me show you how to work with Westbrook.
That'll be the ultimate win. And, you know, the fact that he would end up playing possibly Kevin Durant in the NBA Finals, if there's anybody he gets up for, it's KD. I'm coming. And that's the type of mentality that it's always been, bro. Because KD did some snake shit. When he left OKC, that was a snake move, bro. I don't care what nobody says. But still, ever since, even though they kind of pieced it up and they, you know, they're cool, whatever, that's still in his head, man. He still at least won. Listen, Russell Westbrook is good enough to at least get a championship for his career. Because a ring for him would definitely be the cherry on top to his already Hall of Fame career. Getting
it. I didn't catch the last part. The Hall of Fame career part. I can't hear you anymore. Nonetheless, I agree. He has all the qualifications to be a Hall of Fame already. Like you said, he has all the accolades that's required for the Hall of Fame. He, in the last 5 years, he's averaged a triple-double in the four of them. Like the only thing, like you said, that's missing from Russell Westbrook is really just that championship. And I feel like, you know, like I said, if he were to match up against Kevin Durant in the finals, and let's just say, like, it just comes down to, like, really that matchup. I think that Russell Westbrook, and, like, again, I'm gonna excuse myself because I am a Russell fan, and I'm thinking that maybe he's come to age and a maturity that he's a little more grown up now. And I just feel like if it really came down to that in the finals, Sander, that he's going to try to make sure that he helps his team, and in the worst-case scenario, that he tries to not be the reason why his team loses.
Yes, and what's so lovely about Westbrook and his talent and his ability is the fact that Russell Westbrook can go off at any moment, man. This man can still ball. He can still drop off a 40-piece or a 45-piece with a triple-double to go with it. He's that talented. And I'll tell you this right now. He's an upgrade. He's an upgrade from Schroeder, and he's better still at the moment than THT. So
and Kyle Kuzma and Montrezl and KCP.
He's all three of them in one. So the Lakers got better with Russ Westbrook. So I'm excited to see it. And listen, just to take off the load off LeBron offensively and AD offensively every night, because we all know, yes, Russell Westbrook isn't the most efficient guy, but God damn it, he's not Ben Simmons. He's not Giannis. He will shoot without being scared. He doesn't have any fear in his heart. And if he needs to get to the line, he'll get to the line with no, because he's a 70% free throw shooter for his career. So he's not afraid of getting to the line because he's reliable on the free throw line. Something the Lakers have been stopping on.
He's not great, but I hear what you're saying. He's not shy away from it.
Listen, he's not scared. This is what I'm saying. He's not scared of any moment, even though, like I said, the Lakers don't need him in the biggest moments. They got LeBron and 80 for that. Russell Westbrook is in the best scenario. There's no excuses for him to get it done with this team.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we're definitely going to keep an eye on it because if the Lake show wasn't already must-watch TV, it definitely is now. So I can't wait for Laker television to come back on. But must-watch TV, you already know that in America, America's team is must-watch TV. And yesterday, the Cowboys were on Hard Knocks. And, you know, it really displayed a lot, Sander, because they had a little bit of Mike McCarthy there. Dak was swearing about talking about his time being limited. He's just eager to get back on the field. But nonetheless, the Dallas Cowboys has a lot of great players, you know, but they haven't really lived up to their potential. So my question to you, Mr. Dallas Cowboy fan, is which player has to be the X factor for this team to have success this year?
Well, let me tell you something right now, Jay. It's not just one player, because there's not a damn single player alone on this team that's gonna get be an X factor enough for success. As good as as great as Dak can be, as great as Zeke can be, there's not one player. So I'm gonna give the entire X factor to the. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. But nonetheless,
Ismael, Tanner says if you give him 14 points, he'll give you some Skittles on that one. If you feel that confident.
But I don't want. Why you gotta ruin my day, Ismael? For real, cuz you ain't gotta ruin my day like that. But still, nonetheless, Jay, I feel like the X factor goes to the defense as a whole. The entire defense is going to be the X factor to the Cowboys' success. We ride as far as the defense takes us because Dan Quinn came in here for one thing and one thing only, not to be last on defense. And since he's been a defensive coordinator and head coach, none of his teams has finished last on defense except for that last season on Atlanta when almost like every starter went down. But still.
Oh, you mean last year?
What do we know Dan Quinn for? What do we remember him for? Building up that Legion of Boom in Seattle. And no, I'm not saying that he's bringing that over here to Dallas because we just quite frankly don't have the talent that Seattle had in on that defense. But what has Dan Quinn done? He's completely redrafted. He drafted the entire defense. He picked them, handpicked himself. Because he wanted to bring some type of resemblance of the Seattle style defense over here, kind of like what Keith Richards did a few years ago before we, for no reason, let him go and had Mike Nolan, who hasn't coached in like 6 years, win the defense. But that's neither here nor there. Dan Quinn has been brought in there to do one or two things, Jay. Either keep us within the 15 to 10 range, or I'm going out on a limb. He can even do 10-5. That would be great. That would be great. Listen,
you're such a Cowboy fan.
It can't get any worse than 28. You know what I'm saying?
It could be 29, 30, 31, or 32. Yeah, well,
listen, I don't think our defense is that bad, is what I'm trying to say. I don't think our defense is we didn't play to our potential at all last season.
I do think that drafting Micah Parsons is an addition for sure.
I was going to get to that because Leighton Vander Esch is coming back off that injury, off his neck injury last season. He's coming back healthy. Listen, Jose, let me talk, bro. Let me talk. Worry about your broken Colts, all right? Walking around with horseshoes. Listen, anyways, let me get back to my Cowboys because we not horseshoes. We actually Cowboys. But still,
okay, listen, we still Jay, have a better record. Okay?
Listen, Jay. All right, listen. All right, we're gonna talk about how y'all gonna finish. Not we'll talk about that. But listen, we have Leighton Vander Esch coming back. Okay, everybody loved LVE when he got drafted. The way he played defense, it was a sign of things to come. Jalen Smith developed into a really good middle linebacker. Listen, bro. Don't try and compare me to that clown. Okay, don't try. But anyways, okay. Jalen Smith, okay, is on a come up. He's back. He's a top 10 linebacker, okay? And adding Michael Parsons, okay, just solidifies an already great linebacker core. And Jay, Dan Quinn cannot F this up because
I don't know about great. I'll give him good.
Listen, Dan Quinn, okay, cannot F this up. He cannot turn this defense into the 28th defense that Mike Nolan had. Because if it's anything close to 20th or 25th or 28th, the dude is going to be out the damn door before the 1st of April. Okay? So, look, we need to get better on defense. I'm not worried about the offense. As much as I know a lot of people want to worry about Dak Prescott coming off that injury, I'm not as worried about him coming back off that injury because I feel like that was just a freak accident. That doesn't happen on a normal with his play style. If he was Lamar Jackson and he had that type of injury, I'd be fearing for my damn life. Okay?
You should be concerned about that shoulder, so you should be concerned about
Listen, I feel like the shoulder is just a little bit of sprinkle for a little bit of drama on the television show because we all know Jerry loves drama. So I feel like that's just a little sprinkle because guess what? Let's just say he does ball out and we have a good year. Oh, I did all that on a bum shoulder. And let's say he doesn't ball out and we have a sucky year. Oh, it's because I had a shoulder. So I feel like that was just sprinkled just to have something to fall back on. I could care less because that's not important to me, Jay. I feel like this offense, I feel like this offense can put up 25 to 30 points on anybody, okay? But the problem always been they'll put up 31 points, but they'll give up 57, okay? So it was it really didn't even out. If the defense, if Dan Quinn can get the defense to get you at least, I'll be good, Jay. I won't be greedy. If Dan Quinn can get the Cowboys to a top 15 defense, okay, top 15, and maybe even right at 15, I feel like the Cowboys can win a lot of games. But if you're giving up 31 points and only averaging 30, you're not going to win. So Dan Quinn was there to be the X factor because Mike Nolan looked like he had dementia out there. He wasn't even out there on the sideline. He was up in the booth, probably not even watching the game. But still, Dan Quinn is the X factor, Jay, because if Dan Quinn gets this defense right, the Cowboys will be making a lot of noise this season.
Maybe the fans. I don't know about the team itself, but you guys for sure, win, lose, or draw, you guys will definitely make their noise. But I agree. It's definitely going to come down to the defense. And I'm going to need guys that are paid like DeMarcus Lawrence to go out there and go show why he's getting paid like a top five pass rusher. Because, you know, he was good at that contract year and he showed that he deserved to get the money. And by God means, for sure. You know what I mean? I think we all saw him and he was good. But he hasn't really performed up to that. Ismael Garcia says, I mean, y'all got one extra game to go 7-10, potentially win that week division. That's true. The NFC lease is at least in grasp for the Dallas Cowboys, Ismael. And, you know, seven games might win it, Sander. It really might.
Listen, you know what I love? I love when Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans come out the woodwork. Well, not with Ismael because he's been a Bucs fan forever. But all those seasons of being horrible and horrible and horrible. And now, because he got Brady, now he wants to act all big and tough. Well, guess what, Ismael? Your reign will only be for so long, baby. Because Brady isn't going to play for another 20 years, bro. Okay?
It's okay, Ismael, because you won a championship back in 2000 when you guys had John Gruden and had Rondé Barber and you guys had Brooks. That was a great team. Warren Sapp, you guys won it, right? And guess what? Now you guys won one again, and the Cowboys still haven't won one. So let them be frustrated. Let them be mad. It's okay. I got your back, boy. But nonetheless, back to the Cowboys. I agree. I talked about Micah Parsons. I think he was in a great addition because they needed it. It was a necessity for this team. And you mentioned the linebacker crew. Now they're going to add him alongside Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith. Listen, Jalen Smith has been a big disappointment to me. I feel like he's just a fast linebacker who just misses tackles, has all the athleticism in the world, but can't hit a guy. And Van Der Esch can't stay healthy. He has great instincts. I love the kid. I think that his talent is he really is a great talent, but he just can't stay healthy enough to really be impactful. And availability is the best ability, and that's just been his struggle. But I won't lie. When he's on the field, he's definitely very serviceable. So we're hoping that he will stay on the field alongside Micah Parsons. You definitely got something good going on there. You guys bought in Keanu Neal, who's Dan Quinn's guy from Atlanta. Well, you know, I think he's a solid player, but he's a safety that plays more in the box. He's more plays like a linebacker, and I'm not sure how good that's going to do you because you're adding a fourth linebacker, essentially, in that scenario, and I feel like that's really cutting off the speed that you have on the field. Even though Keanu's fast, he's not safety fast. You know what I mean? I feel like your secondary is really an area where you guys have struggled in the previous last couple seasons, and I'm really expecting a jump from Diggs, the corner you guys got last year, who really struggled in certain areas, but did flash in other departments. So I'm hoping that he does come to par. And a big X factor for me also, Sander, is Mike McCarthy. He's on the hot seat. I don't care what anybody says because a lot of people say, listen, he got a Super Bowl, but it's really looking like that was more Aaron Rodgers doing and not really Mike McCarthy's doing because Aaron Rodgers still been pretty damn good ever since he left there. So, yeah, man, I'm going to need that defense to step it up.
Yeah, well, Jay, the big answer, you know, I'm not saying Keanu Neal is the answer, but he definitely helps the defense in a way. The Cowboys were horrible defending the run last season. We were probably like dead last. And in one stretch of the season, we allowed like four or five straight games with over 120 rushing yards. So a guy like Keanu Neal, who stacks the box, especially when you got to pay, you got to play Saquon Barkley twice a year. We got to play the Washington Redskins, who have no, they have a solid run game as well.
Yeah, and they got that kid Gibson. No, he's good.
And Philly, and Philadelphia with you know Jalen Hurts and Miles and Sanders and them, they have we're dealing with a run heavy offensive division. So we kind of need a guy like Keanu Neal who does stack the box. But like I said, Jay, I feel like a guy like Dan Quinn who's bringing a little bit of that, you know, Seattle defense kind of like similar to what Keith Richards was there when he what he was doing. Keith Richards had the Cowboys defense never drop out of the top 20 when he was defensive coordinator there. And the Cowboys were able to be all be it 8-8, but it was at least 8-8 and not losing records, you know, where the defense kept us in those games. With Dan Quinn, maybe that's the step, that's the next step, the next level that we need to fully unlock the potential. Get a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence, who's basically been sleeping on the field the past two seasons, ever since he's been paid. Maybe a guy like Dan Quinn can lift them up. And, yo, we need you to produce like the way you used to be producing. But that's why I say, Jay, my entire X factor is Dan Quinn in this defense. Because if he can bring us to a respectable level, I'm not saying the number one defense in the league. I'm not trying to be that greedy. But at least top 15, the Cowboys, I have no issue with at least winning 9 to 10 games with a defense like that.
Yeah, and I think I do want to emphasize one more little X factor before we move on, because I think that Dak Prescott also needs a little emphasis on the X factor conversation, because, hey, you didn't get your money, you bet on yourself, and you did win. You won big time. You won bigger than probably anybody ever did in that department. So I'm really hoping that Dak does come out there past that injury and just performs really well for you guys, Tander.
Yeah, man, I'm hoping for the best. Like I said, I'm not going to get my hopes up and be like, oh, it's our year, we're going to win a Super Bowl. But I am at least confident. I wish. I mean, let's say we're in week 14 and our record is 12-2. I'm gonna be screaming a little bit of Super Bowl. But I feel like, Jay, in all reality, I feel like the Cowboys are good enough to get you 9 to 10 wins, and on their best day, maybe 11 or 12. But other than that, we're still not gonna be competing with the Tampas, with the Green Bays. Now that we know for sure, Adams and Aaron Rodgers are coming back. You know, I don't see us beating those teams, but I at least seeing the Dallas Cowboys take the next step, being respectable again. If that's Super Bowl or not, I don't know what it is, but at least be some type of respectable again.
Yeah, we'll see though. We'll see. We always got our eyes on the Cowboys, so we'll definitely will. Like I said, Dak really bet on himself. So now, yeah, we'll keep an eye on them. But listen, a guy that bet on himself also, and it went the worst way possible. Dennis Schroeder, because, you know, he was in L.A. living good, playing alongside LeBron and the Lakers. And, you know, he really thought that he was worth a lot more money. He said, I'm going to really bet on myself. And the market wasn't there for him. And he ended up signing a one-year deal with the Boston Celtics worth up to $5.9 million. Not even $6 million, Sander. $5.9, I'm not going to hate, because I would love to have $5.9 million. I ain't going to knock the man for it. But in contrast of almost making $84 million, you're talking about a big dip there, Sander. That's a lot of money that you left on the table. So how big of a L was this for Schroeder, man?
This was like a $75 million L. probably the biggest L in history of all Ls, to be honest. This man wanted $100 million from the Lakers. The Lakers said, look, man, we'll give you 84. You can take it. And he's like, nah, I'll play this season. And like we said, I'll bet on myself. And what did Dennis Schroeder do? Was there any memorable moment from Dennis Schroeder last season other than the big
– I don't think he ever had a Lakers moment. He never made a Lakers moment, did he?
Did he make a highlight? I don't even know if he made a highlight. I think the man was just a jersey on the court. If anything, Dennis Schroeder is the Cal Kuzma 2.0. If there was any, but still, JJ, the fact that this man, okay, had the nerve, okay, to look at the Lakers like, nah, man, I'm 84 million, I'm gonna get that next season, and then the Celtics slap him with not even six. Much bigger L than Jamarcus Russell, because guess what? Jamarcus Russell got his money. Okay, he got his money. Dennis Schroeder ain't getting nothing. Zilch, nada, zero, stingy with the Nero. Might light your wrist, but that about it. Look, man, Dennis Schroeder had an opportunity to shine this season. Declining that option, he had all opportunities to ball out. And he came up short because, quite frankly, Dennis Schroeder is what Dennis Schroeder always been, a backup point guard. He's not the needle mover. He can definitely help run a second unit and be productive. But if you're expecting Dennis Schroeder to be a Drew Holiday type of player, your Russell Westbrook type of player, or your Kyrie Irving, bro, you smoking something and it doesn't come in a Dutch, baby. I'll tell you this right now, Dennis Schroeder, my man, you are the face of L's. You have taken over the Jordan meme. I don't want to see a Jordan crying meme. From now on, it's going to be a Dennis Schroeder face looking like, that's the meme that I want to see whenever we talk about losers, because this is the biggest loser of all. And JJ, quite frankly, man, this man deserves every bit of it, okay? Because he was talking hot shit. He was talking like he was it. He was talking like he was a top 5 point guard in the league, talking, demanding the stuff he was demanding. And straight like life does, it gives you a slice of humble pie in the worst fashion. Because last time we saw Schroeder, he put up triple zeros. He had a triple-double in zeros in the NBA Finals, okay? So do I feel bad for him at all? Hell no, because guess what? He's still getting paid. He's still getting a nice chunk of change, albeit for one season, but you better prove it now that you're worth an $85 million contract. And I'll keep it a stack with you, Jay. I'm happy about the move. I like that he landed in Boston. It's not a bad move. Maybe with Jason Tatum and Brown, Jaylen Brown, maybe he could do a little bit of something there. But quite frankly, does him in Boston, does that make them better than Milwaukee? Does that make them better than the Nets? Nope. Absolutely not. So, dude, you basically played yourself in the worst of ways. Like, if you could just show a picture if you had the ability to pop up a meme in your head and it was the DJ Khaled gift, you played yourself. That's Dennis Schroeder all day, every day. He has the Wolverine meme of him looking at the picture of that $84 million contract and just pure sadness just all over him. Look, Jay, the reason why I'm also extra hard on this kid, Schroeder, is the fact that he was so, like, entitled ever since his Atlanta days. He was never a star or starter quality type of point guard in Atlanta, in OKC, and now on the Lakers. He's proved it 3 times that he's just not that guy. So any team from now on, if he's going to be asking some type of weird astronomical number, they're going to laugh at him. Unless this kid goes up there and gives you 25, 28 points per game this season with Boston, I don't think he'll be sniffing anything close to what he was asking and potentially could have gotten from the Lakers. Because check this out. Because my girl Carol said this, and I was like, damn, you're so right. Could you imagine if Dennis Schroeder would have taken the contract with the Lakers and then went on to play the way he did? It would have been like, damn, Lakers, what the hell did you do? But at least he would have been sitting pretty with his contract. But no. You want to bet on yourself. And JJ, betting on yourself is 50-50. If you're that guy, then you can have that type of confidence. But if you're a borderline starter and you're trying to bet on yourself, like my daughter could have came up with a better bet than that. And she's not even 2 months old yet. You know what I'm saying? So, Jay, I don't feel bad for this kid, man. I'm actually laughing at this kid, man, because straight up, I don't think he's that big of a needle pusher for Boston anyways. That's why they didn't give him $6 million and gave him 5.9, because that's his worth. You know what I'm saying? He's always missing that point to be that guy. So the fact that he wasn't respected enough to get 6 on a dot just goes to show you the type of player that he is, Jay. So hold that out, hold that flame hot out, and just know that you are the meme for the rest of the year, straight up.
Yeah, that's going to be passing around for a while there. Straight you up. Know, and I feel a little bad because, you know, you always want to have self-confidence in yourself, and he did bet on himself, and unfortunately it didn't go well for him, and he's never going to see an $84 million looking deal again. And for him to do that, Sandra, like you said, he's going to have to drop 25. He's going to have to become the alpha in Boston to even sniff the idea of that. And that will mean that he'll have to overcome not only Jaylen Brown, but Jason Tatum. And I don't think neither of us realistically can even see that happening. So that idea is a bye-bye. And listen, he really did blow the best situation, because at least if you took the money and stayed with the Lakers, you were at least going to be the starting point guard for the Los Angeles Lakers. You know what I mean? You were starting. And now you might not even start in Boston, and you're going to be the third option at best. I think that if Dennis Schroeder is your third option, that's an okay option. It's not your best third option that you can have, but it's not a bad thing. And maybe they could maybe push a couple of series, but they're not going to make any threat when it comes to anybody in the East, Sander. You definitely made that point. But yeah, it's a big financial loss for Dennis Schroeder, because we released it, I think, the Wolverine crying face. Me, I think it was one of the funnier ones that you said, because really, you're really going to look back and think, damn, like, I really missed that opportunity for generational wealth. And you got to look at the market around too, because Lonzo got a comparable deal to that. Kemba Walker signed a deal today for a 2-year deal. I believe it was 2 years. 22 million, something like that. But he made more money with the Knicks now than he does. And a lot of these young guys are signed very similar deals who he think he was better than, and he's frankly not. And it's just his ego has gotten his own way.
Yeah, and Jay, quite frankly, the big difference between those two guys that you named and Dennis Schroeder is at least those two guys have proven to be legit starting quality point guards. Lonzo is a starter on this league. Maybe not on every team, but he's a starter on any team that you would have Dennis Schroeder on, okay? And I don't even think he's the third option in Boston.
I draft Lonzo before Schroeder right now.
I don't even – me too, 100%. But I don't even think – and I'd also draft Kemba Walker before Schroeder, 100%. But
I don't draft Schroeder before Kemba. That's just me, though.
I don't even think he's the third option in Boston, Jay, because Marcus Smart is still on that team, and I don't think Schroeder's better than Marcus Smart, quite frankly. So it's just, dude, he put himself in such a bad situation, because I'll touch it again. The way my girl said it, damn, he's so stupid. At least if he would have taken that contract and the Lakers lost, guess what? He's not he's sitting pretty with his contract, and I'm like, you're so right. What an idiot. You know what I'm saying? Like, It's just a laughable situation to me, Jay, because I don't feel bad for the man. It's not like he was it's not like the Isaiah Thomas kind of thing where I felt bad for Isaiah, because he balled out and kind of like deserved the max contract, but based on just all the intangibles, he wasn't going to get the max contract. So I felt bad for him in that situation. This dude had every type of opportunity to get that contract again. But obviously he's skilled. He's a big body. He's your prototypical point guard.
He's like 6 feet tall. He's not that big.
Well, what I'm trying to say is, Jay, he's your average point guard. Like when you look at a point guard, Dennis Schroeder he looks like a point guard. He can run your team. He can give you some offense, some defense, but he's not a superstar by any chance. And the fact that the Lakers were basically going to pay him like one and he turned it down. And like I said, Jay, I don't feel bad for the kid. Maybe you can. I don't.
No, I feel bad about one thing for him, and I'll leave it at this. You're going to miss that L.A. weather, boy, because Boston weather sucks in the winter. And you're going to miss that L.A. weather. I promise you, Dennis Schroeder.
And the taxi.
I promise you. And the taxi. I mean, L.A. is not cheap to live in either, but nonetheless, it would have been easier to pay taxes with $84 million. And with 5.9 million, so we'll leave it at that. 100%. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at Pot Sports and on twitch.tv/Chloro Crest Media Group. Check out the website for all our content, chlorocrestmedia.com/Stir the Pot Sports. And give us a listen to on Spotify and Apple Podcasts under CMG Sports. Stir the Pot Sports will be there. You'll see the logo. Sander, point to the logo. There you go. Bang, bang. I was kind of hoping you were going to mess up and go the other way, but that's just me. Yeah, man. Another exciting show, man. I love talking sports with you. And, Man, I can't wait to really see how these teams are going to come. Not only the guys at PSG now with Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe, but also the Lakers, man, because I really love LA basketball. And this is going to be an interesting combination of guys.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to see Russ in LA, man. Like, we all know he's from there. And I remember a while back when Nipsey Hussle had passed away and OKC, or I think he was on Houston when they went to LA that following day. They were playing Nipsey Hussle, you know, and Russell Westbrook just felt at home. I felt like this was brewing for a long time coming.
And he dropped the 20-20-20 game that day.
100%. So that's the type of potential that Russell Westbrook is. That's the type of potential that Russell Westbrook is, though, on a nightly basis. He can go off like that. And you know damn well who could use that more than anybody in the NBA is a guy like LeBron that can give a bull the reign.
Nonetheless, we could talk about it all day, Sander, but we'll leave the show with that. I'm JJ Vargas, my brother Sander. We'll catch you on Friday. Yeah.